You are listening to the Daily Nationalist on RadioArian.com.
Welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Thursday, the 11th of January, 2018. It's 5 p.m. Welsh time. It's 12 p.m. New York time. You're listening to me, Sven Longshanks. As it's Thursday, we're joined by Dr. Matthew Raphael Johnson. Matt, how are you doing today?
Oh, it was my understanding that we were going to use Boogie Yoogie Yoogie for the intro music. Did that go out the window or what?
We're actually waiting on a new tune. Philbert Applebag is writing an intro and an outro for us at the moment. And he's rather an accomplished...
A bit of honey or Earth, Wind, and Fire would have been sufficient, but I guess I don't really matter anymore.
Well, that was actually a bit of Storm King. That was one of my favorite tracks by Storm King. But we do have some new music coming up soon. Anyway, as I say, Philbert Applebag is writing something. If people haven't heard of Philbert Applebag, go and check him out, because he really is great. He does a lot of... piano compositions, and he does more sort of garage rock stuff as well, plays guitar, plays drums, it's great stuff. You can find him on YouTube, and he's doing stuff for David Duke as well, and he's done a lot of the outros for Grandpa Lampshade. Anyway, that's enough of the musical stuff. What have you got for us today, Matt? I believe it's a bit of a white pill.
Yeah, I think we need white pills now and again, especially since we're not using any Kool in the Gang for the music here, and I'm very upset about this, but the white pill is that at Florida Gulf Coast University, that no one would have ever heard of except for their basketball team, they have a class, a very predictable class, on white racism, which is the name of the class, that has received such an extremely negative reaction from students and parents and everybody else, that they have to post police guards, that is to say university police, at the entrance of the class or the building and the classroom itself. Now, I first read this, and these classes are they've been offering classes like this since long before I went to college. And yet this is the first time that the reaction was so bad, and that white people now so conscious of this stuff for the first time ever, that this guy has something like 43 pages worth of negative emails against him and against this class, overwhelmingly negative, overwhelmingly from white people. This would be unthinkable when I was in school. They've been offering these classes for decades. And only now, and I'm sure it's more than just this one obscure university, that has this kind of reaction. I'm sure this reaction is happening everywhere. And so that's why it's a bit of a white pill. This is our victory. We created this environment. We created it so that a affirmative action professor, who I'm sure is as ignorant as you can get, can't simply say, I'm black, and that's it. That's the nature of his argument. They can't get away with that anymore. Being black doesn't shield you anymore from the need for ability, the need for intelligence, the need for critical thinking, the need for good grammar, the need for anything even remotely associated with being an academic. The guy is obviously ignorant. He's obviously an affirmative action hire. He's an affirmative action PhD, affirmative action everything. And he's now finally having to pay for it. And, it used to be that you just say, I'm black, and that's it. You can say whatever you want, and no one will say anything to you. It will be too scared of you. Those days seem to be over. And that's why this is an important story, that now it becomes a front page hit on CNN. That's pretty serious.
Well, it's great that he's having to think twice, and the police have actually got involved because they think there might be violence. I mean, I doubt very much there would be any violence, but the fact that they're frightened of that shows that they're on the back foot. And this is the first time this has really happened, that they're actually on the back foot and frightened to do something. I mean, you look at the way they're just wiping us all off of Twitter and wiping us all off of YouTube, and there's been no pushback. But here, they've been putting on these classes, these anti-white classes, where they talk about how racist whites are for years, and now finally they're having to put a police guard out there because they're worried that something might happen. It's great news, Matt. I think what we should do is really have a look at some of the quotes from the article itself, and then maybe you can expand on them a bit, and we can discuss them. And the first quote, this is from the article. It says, "All that it takes is for that one person to act on their views," said Ted Thornhill, assistant professor of sociology at Florida Gulf Coast University, in a phone call with CNN. "We've got to be cautious because you don't know what people are capable of." And I would just say that for one person to act on their views, just what does he mean by act on their views? What act on the fact that we're pro-white? What does he think we're going to do that requires police to be outside of there? What do you think of that, Matt?
I've read this article a couple times, and I don't know if they're being dramatic. In other words, having police out there makes it seem that there is this army of white people prepared to descend on the class. And if they are doing that, if they are deliberately being dramatic, is that going to backfire on them? Because if that is the case, or even remotely the case, then it means that, again, that's our victory. We have created this, and they're aware of it. They're thinking of their make-believe stories like Dylann Roof or whatever it is, and now it's backfiring on them because they actually start believing their BS right now. Now, I don't understand why you would have a view and not act on it. The whole point of a view is to act on it. A view by itself is pretty meaningless unless someone acts on it. And I'm very happy that they're believing their own crap now. I don't believe for 2 seconds that Dylann Roof actually shot anybody. The whole story doesn't make sense. Nothing about that story makes any sense. But they now believe it, and now they're afraid. That's exactly probably what they're thinking of. Now, I don't know what kind of a police presence it is. I don't know how many there are out there. I don't know if it's just kind of like TRS, just to make people seem like they're being looked after. But this is our victory. I'll say this a million times. This is our victory. We created this with no institutions. We created this with almost no money. We've created this while, like you say, getting kicked off of every YouTube or Facebook or whatever it is. And we've still done this. That's extraordinary. I can't think of an example where that's happened before.
Well, people acting on their views are sending in emails and criticizing this and saying that it's wrong and it shouldn't be allowed. That's white people acting on their views. I think this is what they're saying is they assume that anyone that is pro-white, if they act on their views, and that means they're going to be violent, they're going to try and blow themselves up, maybe like the jihadis do in the at the university, or maybe somebody's going to try and break in there with a gun and shoot everyone. But that's the behavior of mad people or Muslims. That's not the behavior of pro-white people that are against these white racism classes. Now, there's another quote here that talks about the course description. It says, "A course description says the class will interrogate the concept of race, examine the racist ideologies, laws, policies, and practices that have operated for hundreds of years to maintain white racial domination over those racialized as non-white. And it also aims to discuss ways to challenge white racism and white supremacy towards promoting an anti-racist society where whiteness is not tied to greater life chances." Well, there's loads there we can go into. What do you think of this interrogate the concept of race? What does that mean?
The choice of words is interesting. Interrogate. I mean, that's a very, very harsh form of questioning. In an interrogation, the person being interrogated has no right to ask questions. They only have to answer it. So when you consider a concept of interrogation, like your law enforcement or something like that, the power is coming from the person doing the interrogation, which in this case is the university and the professor. That automatically means that it's not a white society, because obviously something like that wouldn't be permitted if it were. Everything that these people do prove that their point is false. Because this sort of thing would be permitted in apartheid South Africa, for example.
Well, if they're interrogating the concept of race, then they're basically trying to deconstruct it and say that there's no such thing as race, and yet this is specifically racial. It's dividing society into white people and non-whites. So they are admitting that, yes, there is races, and yet they're trying to say there that they're interrogating the concept of it, as if it's just a concept, as if it isn't a biological reality. And this racist ideologies, racist laws, racist policies, racist practices that have operated for hundreds of years, all the ideologies, laws, policies, and practices today are against whites. They're about replacing whites with blacks. They're about preventing whites from being able to freely associate with other whites. We have to have diversity everywhere. So we can't have freedom of association anymore. We can't speak our minds anymore because we're told that that is hate speech if we criticize any of these other races. So these racist ideologies, laws, policies, and practices that he's talking about, they're anti-white. And this course itself is a part of that. And where he's talking about challenging white racism and white supremacy towards promoting an anti-racist society where whiteness is not tied to greater life chances, this was built by white people. Our societies were built by white people. That's why we prosper in them. Negroes should be prospering in their own Negro societies. Why aren't they prospering there? Now, all you have to do is look at the countries where these other races come from and compare them to the white countries, and you can see the reason why they don't succeed in white countries, I think, Matt.
Well, if you go to the CNN article, there's also a video attached to it. And you could see that the professor is a complete idiot. And so what he's doing here is projecting, because the only reason that he's teaching there, the only reason he ever got a bachelor's degree, let alone anything beyond that, is because he's not white. So in saying that whiteness is tied to greater life chances, of course, he's concerned with himself. He understands that's the only reason that he's there. And he also knows that there are hundreds of white people who were not chosen for that position, even though they were infinitely superior to him in every way, academically speaking. So there's a little bit of guilt there. Now, you notice the phrase he uses, over those racialized as non-white. Now, that's not a verb I've ever heard before. Racialized means constructed. I'm assuming that. So this guy has benefited from anti-white programs at the university, and I guarantee you there was a bidding war for the guy once he went on the market. And guys like that usually, sociology is kind of a make-believe field. If you're interested in that kind of thing, you can go into psychology or economics or political science or history. Sociology contains a lot of non-whites because it's much easier and very, very little in terms of theory that you couldn't find in philosophy or history. So you find a lot of non-whites in sociology and in communications and these kind of make-believe social sciences almost dumbed down so they can have more non-whites in them. Go to any communications department in any university, you'll find blacks everywhere. And it's really a dumbed down version of psychology and political science, which is all these recently discovered make-believe social science fields are. But racialized is something I think they've come up with to mean constructed. But if that's the case, then this guy has no right to the position that he's in. And I think he's aware of this to some extent. He probably couldn't articulate it very well, but he is aware of it. And he's aware that his racialization as non-white is the only reason this class could ever even be offered. And I think that at some level bugs him.
Yeah, it's the only reason he's got a job is because he's been racialized, because there's a diversity quota, and because he fits the description for being diverse, that's the reason why he's got the job. So it's a bit rich of him to then complain about people being racialized as non-white, when if it was just qualifications alone that got him the job, then he would never have got it in the first place. Let's move on to hearing about some of these messages that he was sent. It says the professor said he wasn't surprised when he was besieged with messages, most of them negative, and some hate mail in the days and weeks after the course was announced. Even so, he said, he was shocked by their vitriol. Thornhill shared with CNN 46 pages of emails he has received about the course. A few FGCU parents threatened to pull their tuition. Well, that's good. Some writers asked why the course was called White Racism, when racism exists among all ethnic groups. Others said Thornhill should devote class time to Black Racism. Still others pelted him with insults and racial slurs. Cancer stage 4 is what you and your family deserve for spreading hate, lies and intolerance, read one email. I would ask that you stop using the name Ted and Thornhill, as I feel you are using a cultural appropriation. Change it to Obongo Deviantry, you racist pig, said another. A third said, I bet membership in the Klan is probably skyrocketing because of radicals like you. And others called him a pitiful little boy, a subhuman mongrel, and an alt-left piece of shit. Asked about the outcry, Thornhill told CNN, it is not my job to provide white people with comfort. He later said, I never at any point entertained the possibility of changing the course title to accommodate the racial bigotry of the individuals who would send me these kinds of messages. Again, I think we've got lots there that we can talk about, Matt. What about these parents that actually threatened to pull their tuition fees? I mean, that is a real turn up for the books.
I've never heard that happening before. And obviously, it has to be pretty substantial for that to even be mentioned in this story, because other parents who have kids at Florida Gulf Coast are probably thinking about it. And they're thinking about it because of reading this article. You notice that these, first of all, the guy says it's not my job to provide white people with comfort. Well, if that's the case, then he has no right to complain about these insults, because it's not our job to provide him with comfort. And you notice that these insults are well written. There aren't, you know, terrible grammar, spelling mistakes or anything else. I mean, these people are really hitting him and hitting him hard. The cultural appropriation argument is always funny. You know, you could use that all the time. It really is. They're hitting him where it hurts, and it is not their job to comfort him either. And it's really, and I'm sure a lot of them also, you know, talked about his. You know, he simply has no right to be there. But if he's not worried about comfort, then neither should we. And but you're right. I think the biggest thing here is that parents, and I'm sure alumni are talking too. You know, this isn't an education. This has nothing to do with education, even in sociology. It's not relevant. It's nothing but one cliche after another. And it's not education. And I think the university is panicking here.
That's just about teaching students to hate white people. If you turn it around the other way and say it was a class about black racism against whites, they would never allow it. That's a far right talking point. And yet this is supposedly a talking point that is heard all around the universities now about white racism and how terrible we are at treating the blacks. And one thing that I thought was encouraging about this is that the people that are criticizing him are using the left-wing terminology, using words like tolerance and cultural appropriation, spreading hate, spreading lies. And this is what we get accused of. And yet here, the people that have criticized this have shown enough intelligence to realize that it's the other side of it that is actually spreading this hatred and the lies and making out that white people have always been treading on the black man and treating him terribly, whereas the reality is that we've paid for everything. You only have to look at the numbers of blacks that were in Africa at the turn of the 20th century and then compare that to now, and you will see that they've increased massively. They've gone from being a small number of millions to in their billions in the space of 100 years. And all of that is down to the white man's technology, white man's medicine. And just the fact that he's there at a university shows that he was taught how to read and write. And again, that is the white man's technology, reading and writing. These guys should be really eternally grateful to us for everything that we've done, but they're not. They're setting up classes in school to try and teach people that the white man is a devil and that he should be hated, and that the only reason why Negroes aren't doing all this for themselves is because we're holding them back. And it's quite clear we are not holding them back in any way whatsoever. Do you want to continue talking about this one, or do you want me to move on to another quote, Matt?
Well, the only one thing I want to add here is that, remember, we really can't use the double standard argument with these people. Because they have no interest in having a single standard. That was never the agenda. So claiming that there's a double standard here is not going to convert anyone. That was never the point in the first place. They are fully aware that it's a double standard and they don't care. So that that approach is, it's nice to make fun of them and everything else and maybe to wake people up, but that's not going to convert anybody. They had no intention of having a single standard with any of this. That's who they are.
I don't think they have the logic to understand that they're actually holding two conflicting viewpoints in their head. I think that is part of it. I mean, I've heard blacks trying to say that black people can't be racist before, and they can't actually come up with any reasons for it. All they can ever come up with is how mean the white man has been to them. They don't seem to actually understand what the concept of racism is, because if they did, it would mean that they were racist. And they can't be racist because it's the white man that's racist all the time, because he's racist to blacks. So the actual concept of racism, they don't really fully understand it. Because if they did, it would mean that they were racist, because they understand that they prefer the company of their own people. They understand that they are advocating for the best interests of their own people. So if that makes you racist, that can't possibly be the meaning of the word racism. I've seen this happen so many times where people have tried to talk to blacks on talk shows on television and just try to get them to see whether it is possible that blacks could be racist against whites. And they just cannot admit it. Because if they did, it would mean they were racist. And do you see what I mean? It's like circular reasoning, where they're not capable of realizing that they've got these two conflicting ideas going around in their heads. And for a white man to have conflicting ideas going around in his head like that, that turns you neurotic, because he's thinking of one thing which has got one outcome, and the same thing has a different outcome when it's applied to somebody else. And that's confusing. And that's what's been done to us in our society. That's why we're so confused all the time. We're so neurotic because we get so many conflicting ideas that are sent towards us. But with a Negro, it just seems to wash off their backs, I think.
Well, even if they were capable of any kind of deep logical analysis, which I generally speaking don't believe they are, but even if they are, why would they ever develop it? Their whole lives are white people saying yes to everything that they say, no matter how stupid it is. Not ever calling them out on anything because they're afraid. Why would you ever bother developing your logical capacity when you never have to? It's like being an attractive female. When everything is given to you, no matter what you say, men think it's brilliant. Why would you bother ever developing your intellect or even be nice to anybody? You have absolutely no reason to. Why would these people ever bother developing, even bother to read very much? When no matter anything they say, no matter how ignorant it is, you have white people falling from the skies telling them how brilliant they are. This story is saying, no, we're not letting you do that anymore. You're actually going to have to make arguments now. And it's not something they're good at. And that's one of the big reasons that this is an important story, because you can't simply say, I'm black, listen to me. When I was in college, that was sufficient, but it's not sufficient anymore. And damn, I mean, when I say they're panicking, I mean it. They have no ability to make logical arguments because they've never had to. Now they have to.
I think this is one of the main ways that the white man differs from it from everybody else. Because if we do have everybody that's just saying yes to us, if you think of a king and everyone says yes to the king, well, we've got all these stories about the king then dressing up as a peasant and going out among the poor folks so he can find out what the truth is of everything. If we had everybody just telling us yes all the time, it wouldn't stop us striving to do better. Because it's just naturally within us to try to improve ourselves, no matter what people say around us. If everybody was saying yes to us, we would think, well, there's obviously something wrong here. They're just telling me that. I need to find out whether that's really the truth, whether I am really good at this. It's like nepotism. If you've only got the job that you've got because you've been handed it by your family, you would feel as if somehow that wasn't quite right, and you would want to have that job for your own merit. This is why we don't like societies that aren't based on merit, and we want a society that's based on merit, because it's a natural instinct with white people to try and succeed off your own back. That's why we've been so successful, and that is one of the essential differences, I think, between us and these other races, Matt. Well, let's have a look at this final quote here then. For his part, Thornhill says his course is about a search for truth. My white racism course is not anti-white. It is anti-white racism, he said in a written statement sent to CNN and other news outlets. Clearly not all white people are racists. Some are even anti-racist. However, all people racialized as white do derive in some measure material and psychological benefits by virtue of being racialized as white. Now, what do you think of that then, Matt? Have you been racialized as a white man?
Yeah, and you know, if I wasn't, I'd be tenured at a university by now. but now this is something that he had to have thought about. He's putting out an official statement by him because of all of this. And the first line doesn't make any sense. My white racism course is not anti-white. It's anti-white racism. Now that could be taken in more than one way. Anti-white racism usually means racial acts by non-whites. Here it seems to mean that that's what his course is, where I'm opposed to white racism, but that could be read in more than one way. So right in the first line of his explanation, you have a very ambiguous, almost an error. So right off the bat, the guy is confused. But again, he doesn't say what these material and psychological benefits are. The very fact that he is in the position that he's, you know, think of it like this. If you're non-white, and this guy's actually quite light-skinned, if you're non-white and you are a professor somewhere, that means by holding these views, it makes you even that much superior. Because not only am I a professor at this university, I fought and got past all of this white racism to get here. So it makes them seem almost superhuman. Because look at what I've overcome to get here. Of course, it's certainly not in their interest to say, well, you know, I'm getting what I deserve because white black people have been treated very poorly and I'm a professor here. It's in their interest to make universities and society as anti-white as possible, anti-black as possible, because it makes their success all the more noteworthy.
I think also what they look at, they look at the numbers of black people, and then they say, well, black people are this percentage of the population, say 10% of the population, therefore they should occupy 10% of all these posts at university. And when they don't, when they only occupy 1%, the only answer to that is, if all the races are equal, it must be that there is something that is holding them back, something that is preventing them from occupying that 10% of posts in the university. Because they can't possibly confront the fact that actually there are differences in the races and they are better at running and sports in some instances than whites are, the same as whites are better at chess than Negroes. And they may be better physically, but they're not better mentally. And this is just a fact of life, but they refuse to confront that fact. And if they don't confront that fact, then they're stuck for their whole lives believing that it's the nasty, mean white man that's kept them down all this time. And that's why they're not succeeding. That's why there's so many of them in the prisons. And this is what's so good to see, that people are actually fighting back with this. And over here in Britain, we've got something similar. We've had a David Lammy report, which I've spoken about quite a few times now, where they've looked at the number of blacks in prisons, black youths in prisons. 10 times as many black youths are in juvenile holding centres as there are percentage of blacks in the population. And they're saying that this is because the system is racist, because we don't have enough black judges. They refuse to confront the fact that it's because blacks are 10 times more likely to commit violent crimes. Instead, they're saying it's because the white man is racist. And nobody is speaking up about this. There's no David Lammy hasn't had to have a police escort in case somebody acts on their views on the David Lammy report. We've heard nothing about it. And yet over there in your part of the world, Matt, people are pushing back against this anti-white course. It's fantastic news. It really is.
Yeah, I have almost nothing to add to that. That's exactly it. This guy is now forced to make a case for the first time in his career. That, you know, I spent a lot of time in philosophy and when I was in grad school, and I'm telling you right now, there is not a single black male as a grad student in philosophy anywhere, even though you know that they would shower cash on him. There was one where I was, but he was heavily mixed. They're not capable of abstract thought the way white people are, for whatever reason. There is no black professional philosophers out there right now. Or if there are, it's just about racism and nothing else. And, white people just used to be frightened, to say anything. And clearly that wall is coming down, which is, extraordinary. I don't even, you know, this is the ultimate white pill, this story. And this is just the beginning. This is just what they're willing to report. I have the feeling this is, and now parents, at this university are now going to be possibly pulling tuition and not paying. And now the university has to deal with this guy. And, you know, talk about conflicting ideas. He's now caused a huge amount of trouble, and they can't say anything because of his race. So they put the university in a terrible position. So this is really excellent news. I love it.
Yeah, it's great. Thank you so much for that, Matt. Onwards and upwards. Thank you for coming on. Thank you, listeners, for listening. I'll be back tomorrow with Florian Gaius. Until then, I'll say God bless and hail victory.
You are listening to Radio Aryan for an alternative to the anti-white system on RadioAryan.com.